Okay, so we're on Daf Samach Daled tonight. It's Kiddushin 64a. It's page 127. I'll begin from the second line on Samach Daled Amud Aleph. Samach Nitin. This talks about the Ne'emanus. Let me just. A father has Ne'emanus, is believed in Bezdin to describe that his daughter might be possible for Kahuna as a result of being divorced. And we'll see when he's Ne'eman, when he's not Ne'eman. The Gemara is going to have a svara, and then the Gemara is going to say it's based on a pasuk. Okay, Manithin, Kiddushin Biti, if a man, he says, I accepted Kiddushin on behalf of my daughter. Kiddushin Begirashtia, she Kitana, Barei Kitana Neman. So he says, I've Kaddish my daughter, or he says, I was Makaddish her, and I accepted a divorce on her behalf when she was a Kitana, and she's still a Kitana. So he says, he's Neman. The father is believed that. But if he says I married her off and I do, then I accepted her divorce when she was a ketana, gedola, and now she's a gedola, now she's an adult, he's eino ne'eman. Then last statement, nishbet uftitiha, if he says that she was taken captive and I redeemed her, bein she ketana, bein she gedola, eino ne'eman. Now, if a woman is taken captive, it means that she's possible for kahuna. Obviously, it means that she had relations with a non-Jew. So, so the Mishnah describes the first case, the father's Neman. He says either Kiddushin Biti or Kiddushin Begirashtia she Ketana. I was Mekaddish her when she was a Ketana, and she's still a Ketana, he's Neman. But if he says I was Mekaddish her and I accepted the Begirush number half when she was a Ketana, now she's a Gedola, or he says whether she's a Ketana or a Gedola, that she was Nishbet, she was taken captive and they redeemed her, whether she's a Ketana or a Gedola, she's not Neman. So we don't understand why he's Neman, when he's Neman, when he's not Neman, but it's a big chiddush that he's Neman. In other words, his single testimony is enough to establish it
Would
for
you
the
please
Jew.
explain Neman?
Neman means believe, believe, believed. Neman.
Believe what?
He's believed in Bezdin to establish that she's Pasul Zakuna.
Okay.
Okay? Okay, now. All right.
My wife opened up the cabinet, and this is what she saw in the cabinet. And this is, she said, "Wow," and I said, "Wow," also. But this is yours. What?
Yeah.
Well, that's it's yours. It hasn't been used. Please,
Thank you.
really, if the other one is yours,
All right, it's
but I'm
over.
Can we hear
Okay.
the question?
No, it's okay. It's okay. We're being recorded. It's something private. Okay, now let me see back in the Gemara. So
Something private.
the Gemara says on the, if you want to come to the, you'll hear all the comments if you come in person. Okay. So on line five, so the Gemara says, Mishnah Reisha and Mishnah Seifa. So the Gemara says, what's the difference between the Reisha and the Seifa of the Mishnah? Why in the first line of the Mishnah is the father Neman? Neman he's believed. And why in the other case is he not believed? So the Gemara says, Reisha biyadeh. So the Gemara says, in the Reisha, the father's in a position where if he would want to passel the daughter for Kuna, he could easily do that. In other words, he's still in a position to accept Kiddushin and Gerushin on her behalf. So if he says, I did it already, he's believed. That's what we think. Seifa la biyadeh. In the Seifa cases, it's not in his jurisdiction. She outgrew his jurisdiction, so he's not Ne'eman. That's what we think the pshat is. And the same thing with last halakha in the Mishnah is that he says that she was taken captive, and I redeemed her. Whether she's ketana or gedola, it's not in his control. He can't, have a captor, take the daughter. I mean, there's no, you never either have, I never can have somebody to take my daughter captive. I don't wish to do that. Now, so he's the Gemara says, Seifa la biyadeh. Below, so the Gemara says, Rei biyado lahasiel l'chalal. So what do you mean it's not biyado? You're right, it's not biyado to give her over to a captor, but he could do the legal equivalent to it. He could marry his daughter to a chalal. A chalal is, let's say, the product of, let's say, a kohen. And who marries a grusha? The kohen marries a grusha, and they have a female daughter. And that's the way females work. Anyway, they have a daughter, so he can marry her off to or the other way around. The boy, in other words, the kohen marries a grusha, and they have a halal as a son. So the father can marry this daughter over to a halal, and she should be passed to kuna afterwards as well. That's what we think. The father of the girl can marry her off to a halal, and then she'd be passed to kuna. So it is biyado. to the kapasla mikuna. So Gemara says halokasha. The Gemara says that's not a difficulty. To Rabbi Dusta ben Yehuda, the Amar, but don't Yisrael mikvei tara lachalalin. He says, according to Rabbi Dusta ben Yehuda, but don't Yisrael mikvei tara lachalalin, meaning that if a man gives his daughter to a halal, according to Rabbi Dusta ben Yehuda, the female offspring is permissible to a kohen. In other words, let's say you have. Let's say if a halal is the offspring from the kohen and the grusha, so he holds that the Bnei Yisrael are a mikvei tahara, meaning that if she marries the halal, that any daughter they have would be permissible to a kohen. Any daughter they have would be permissible to a
son from a halal and a grusha. A kohen and a grusha,
right?
Marries a regular bat
Yisrael. A bat Yisrael.
The daughter will be
permissible to kohuna. So the klal is, if the daughter is permissible to kohuna, the wife is also permissible to kohuna. If the marriage terminates, let's say, with death or something like that. So according to Rabbi Dostai ben Yehuda, that would not passel her from kohuna. Rabbi Adolasi the mamzer, but the Gemara says, look, the father can marry the daughter off to a mamzer if he would choose, and then she would also be pasul kuna. So the Gemara says, Ki Rabbi Akiva, the Amar, in Kiddushin Tofsin Mechayvi Lavin. So the Gemara says, our Mishnah will be like the Tana Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva holds Kiddushin and Atofes, ineffective with the mamzer, and it was the Zalav, Loyavo Mamzer Bekal Hashem. So the Tana Rabbi Akiva holds that the Kiddushin are ineffective if there's a lav there. So the father is not in a position to marry his daughter off to a mamzer. Are you with me or not?
Okay.
So again, normally we say that if it's an Easter law, Kiddushin would be tofes. Rabbi Kiva says not. So we said, so the answer was that the father is still in a position to marry his daughter off to a mamzer. So he can't. It's not tofes. Okay. The marriage Kiddushin tofes b'chavi lavin. So the Gemara says, HaRabi Adolasya Almana L'Kohen Gadol L'Chareb Simoi. Gemara wants to say that even according to Rabbi Akiva, the father can marry off his daughter if she's an almana to a kohen gadol. You have to say that the daughter was married off and the husband died after Erusin. Well, you'd have to say it wasn't after Nisuin. In other words, father married off the daughter. After Erusin, the husband died. Now she's an almana. Now the father still has a rishus over her. He can marry her off to the kohen gadol. And like Rabbi Simoi, the Tani, but learned the Brisa, Rabbi Simoi Omer, Rabbi Kiva Mamzer, that Rabbi Simoi says, everybody, you know, that you're violating a lavim, so Rabbi Kiva would say the offspring are Mamzerim, chutz mi almana l'kohen gadol, except for the product of an almana with a kohen gadol, shrei amra Torah lo yikach v'lo yichalel. It says, don't take her and don't make the offspring halal. Chilulim osev ein osev Mamzerim. So that the offspring would be halalim, but they wouldn't be Mamzerim. So the offspring would be halalim. In other words, Rabbi Kiva holds, if the offspring's a mamzer, so then the kiddushin are not tofes. If the offspring are not mamzerim, which is what the Torah is teaching me here, that the offspring from an almana with a kohen gadol would be halalim, then even Rabbi Kiva holds that the kiddushin would be tofes. So the father could marry the daughter off as an almana to the kohen gadol, and that he does have it is biado to, you know, to make her then possible for kuhuna afterwards. So the Gemara says, to Rabbi Sheva, to Amar, so the Gemara says, the Tan of our Mishnah will hold like Rabbi Sheva. He says, to Amar, bonus Sabeach al Akiva ben Yosef, let's go and like complain about Rabbi Akiva. She Omer, Kol She'en lo Biyab Yisrael, have Vlad Mamzer. He says that anybody who cannot be a Yisrael, the Vlad is a Mamzer. I mean, Rabbi Sheva is saying that Rabbi Akiva holds, not like we just said a few lines ago, not like Rabbi Simoi, Rabbi Sheva holds, that Rabbi Akiva would hold that the offspring of an almana with a kohen gadol would be a mamzer, and maybe the kedusha would not be tofes. We're two lines above where it gets wide on Samachal and Amaral. So the Gemara says, Panichal Rabbi Sheva. So according to Rabbi Sheva, everything is like, no. So what he said, we think that if it's biado, the husband, the father is neman. So he says, well, again, we said, why is he not neman? You know, with the captive, so he says he can't give the daughter off to like a boy, whether you're young, old, he can't give it to the boy, but he can do the equivalent. So Gemara says no, he can't do the equivalent. The equivalent would be to, you know, if he would marry her off to a halal, but that wouldn't make her a psul kuhuna. Then we said, well, maybe he can marry you off to Amana the Kohen Gadol. He says, no, according to Rabbi Akiva, he can't marry you off to as an Amana to a Kohen Gadol, the way we're revising it. So the Gemara says, Hanichal, the two lines before he gets wife, Hanichal Rabbi Shevav, Ila Tami Dinafshe, Shapir. So if Rabbi Shevav is giving a whole different shot on what Rabbi Akiva holds, if you look at Rabbi Shevav's statement, he says, Rabbi Shevav says, Bonus Ve'echal Kibi Yosef. In other words, let's complain against Rabbi Akiva. Shomer Kol Shein Lo B'Yisrael HaVlad Mamzer. Any prohibited marriage, the Vlad is a Mamzer. So that would mean, like, globally, Rabbi Akiva would hold Kiddushin and not Tofes with any Yisuri Bia. Any Yisuri Bia includes not only Lavim, but also Essay. Let's say it says, you know, by an Adomiu Moavi, can't come to Kal Hashem, but it says, the third drawer. In other words, if an Adomi converts to Judaism, the third generation can come a Kahal. So, but there's an Easter essay, this first and second generations can't come a Kahal. So, according to this, Rabbi Akiva would hold the Kiddush are not toe-faced there either. So there's nowhere you can give the daughter over to any prohibited marriage. If that's what Rabbi Shiva means, then where everything's in good shape. El Puke Mitamad Rabbi Simoi Ka'ati, but if, on the other hand, Rabbi Shevav is just like carving out, in other words, he's mechulak, another way to understand him, he's mechulak with the din of Rabbi Simoi. Rabbi Simoi says that Rabbi Akiva's moda, that you could marry the almana to the Kohen Gadol, and Rabbi Simoi holds not. But then it would come out, though, that maybe Rabbi Akiva would hold that you could marry an Easter essay. In other words, maybe Rabbi Akiva holds an Easter essay, like with the Adomi and the Moavi, that they could marry it. So the Gemara says, so the Harebi Adolasi Elchai Be'Essay. So then there is a case where the father could marry off the daughter, you know, and the Kishon would be toe-faced, even according to Rabbi Akiva, if it's just a Chiyuv Essay. In other words, let's say it's an Adomi, and I think, which is Dor Shlishi? Adomi, and who else? The Mitzri and the Adomi, I think, right? Or the Mitzri and who else? Who's the Dor Shlishi? The Mitzri and, all right, 1 second. Wait, 1 second, Sensei. 1 second, give me 1 second, Sensei. No, not the Moavi, 1 second, Sensei.
Ammonia and
Moavi. Wait.
Moavi and Ammon.
No,
yeah. So third generation Mitzri or Edomi. So Mitzri or Edomi would be the three. Okay, so Mitzri or Edomi would be the Esther essay. Okay, so let's take it back on the Gemara. So it says, Harebi Adolah Silichai V'Yesi. So we run into problems. So the first wide line, and then I'll summarize in a minute. So Amar Ravashi, B'tispera. So Ravashi says, does this whole pshat make sense? Reisha Mishum Deviyadahu. In other words, the whole pshat, in other words, you want to say that the Reisha, he's Naaman, because it's Biyado to marry her off and then have her divorced. He says, Nehi Deviyadahu L'Katra. Yeah, the father's in a position to marry off the daughter, but Biyado Lagarsha, can he divorce her? In other words, it's not Biyado Lagarsha. In other words, that would be in the husband's decision. It's not the father can't decide that she's going to divorce. But Ba'od, Ilu Amar, Hai Lo Nichali Begaba, Mimatsi Mekarish Nehele Bal Korche. Also, like you have all these cases where you said the father can marry you off to this person, that person, the other person. But if the person doesn't want to marry her, he can't marry her off to those people. Ella, the daughter, he can't marry the men. Right, so third white line, Ella Ravashi, Reisha Rachmana Hemnek Ravuna. So Rav Ashi is a different shot. In the Reisha, where he says, you know, Kidashiva Gerashia Chihin Kitana, he's Neman, because the Torah gives him Nemanus. The Amar Ravuna Marav, Minay Lab Shineman the Serpi Tomina Torah. Where do we know that a father is believed to Asr his daughter Minatorah? Shinemar Epitina Tati La Ish Hazem. That the man comes and he says, Epitina Tati La Ish Hazem. La'ish Asra, in other words, when he says La'ish, he's answering her on all the men in the world. In other words, this is like where the with the motzi shemra. So the father comes and says, "Ebitina tati la ish hazeh." He says, "I gave my daughter to this man," and he's neman with that statement. So la ish means that she's asra and all the men in the world that I married her to this man, and then hazeh hitira benisuin. So I say hitira. In other words, but this man is permissible to her. In other words, ebitina tati la ish. I married her off to a man. She's asra and everybody else in the world. But Hazeh, I married her to this man, so she's mutarit to this man. So the Torah gives Ne'emanus to the father, we believe with this. So, Hemne Rachman Al-Av, Beshvuya, by marriage, the Torah has Ne'emanus for the father, but by captivity, not. Okay, let me summarize again what we did. Let me go over a little bit, and then we'll take questions, comments, and thoughts, okay? So, for the people who came in late and for other people, so we learned a few halachot in the Mishnah. First halacha of the Mishnah was, if a father says, I accepted Kiddushin and Gerushin on behalf of my daughter when she's a Ketana, now she's a Ketana, the father is believed. It means that that's a tremendous Ne'emanus. In other words, believability, a tremendous Ne'emanus, that his statement alone is enough to establish a fact. So if he says, for example, I accepted Kiddushin and Gerushin on behalf of my daughter, means the daughter is prohibited to marry a Kohen. That's it. In other words, that's it. The father's word, that's it. But we learn in other cases, the father does not believe. If he says that I accepted Kiddushin and Gerushin from my daughter when she was a Ketana, now she's a Gdola, he's not believed. And then we said, if the father says whether she's a Ketana or a Gdola, then my daughter was taken captive and I redeemed her, and then she's asked for Fakuna, not believed. So what's the klal? When is he believed? When is he not believed? So the Gemara thought that the pshat was, if it's biyado, if it's in the father's jurisdiction to, you know, marry her off and have her divorced, or marry her, or you know, render her possible to the kuna, he'd be believed about that. So if she's still a Ketana, we thought that he could marry her off, he could accept Gerushin on her behalf. So he's believed with it, since if he wanted to pass her for kuna, he could turn around and do it just on his own right now. So he's believed when he says he did it. That's what we thought the pshat is. So the Gemara says, yeah, but if that's the case, so then by the captivity, he should be believed, because he could marry her off to, even though he can't, you know, give her to a captive, but he can marry her off to people who would possible her for kuna. So then the Gemara went through a whole attempt that, no, he can't marry her off to people who ask her to kuna. Nothing would be tofes. But within one ukimta, we said that it might be within Rabbi Akiva, he could marry her off to somebody who would be, you know, like an Easter essay, which would be the Adomi and the Mitzri. So the Gemara said, but Rashi said, look, this whole svar doesn't make sense. He says, it's biyado. Is it biyado, the Garsha? Can he divorce his daughter? Somebody else is going to divorce the daughter. And even he said he could give his daughter to all these other men. But what if they don't want to marry her? So he's not in a position to, you know, marry her off to all these other men. So he says, right. So the Gemara says, no, there's a pasuk. It means it's talking about when the daughter's a Ketana or a Nara. The father says that Bitina Tati La Isha Zeh La Isha. I gave my daughter over to this man. So Chazal is saying, I gave my daughter to this man. She's Asra and everybody else in the world. And then Hazeh, this man, she's permissible to. So the Torah has a special chiddush that the father is believed vis-a-vis the status of the daughter. That's a special ne'emanus the father has to decide to say that my daughter is possible to Kuna. And he's believed with that. He's believed that she's divorced. He's believed with her whole status. But only when she's a Ketana or a Nara, if she's old or not, and not if she's a Shruya. He has no Ne'emanus with that. Okay? All right. Who's got questions, comments to us, anything I did so far? So there's a machloket with an understanding what the Shita of Rabbi Akiva is. So according to one way of understanding Rabbi Akiva holds that, and again, if the Vlad would be a Mamzer, that means Kiddushin are not Tofes. Those are not Tofes. So according to one pshat, Rabbi Akiva holds, even if it's a chiyuv lav, the vlad is a mamzer. And then as a corollary to that, it's not tofei. So those go hand in glove together. So he holds that the offspring of an Easter lav with anybody would be a mamzer. That's what, so like lo yamom mamzer b'kal Hashem. So the Kiddushin would not be Tofes. The Kiddushin would not be Tofes. So, but the, but then there's a question what does Rabbi Akiva hold if a man wants to marry an Iser Esay? An Iser Esay would be you have a Ger Mitzri or a Ger Adomi. So the third generation can come Bakal, the first and second can. Let's say the girl marries the Ger, you know, Mitzri, the second generation. So does Rabbi Akiva hold that the offspring would be Mamzerim, in which case Kiddushin are Tofes, or he holds no, the Kiddushin are Tofes. So we had a machloket about this, but the broad construction is he holds the Kiddushin are Tofes even with an Easter essay. All right. Any questions, comments, thoughts, anything we did so far? Yeah, go ahead. Wait. We're talking to
you. We said that it would be Xerata Katul, that the father has the power to be able to, regarding the Kana.
What's the question?
You said that the father
has Ne'amanus.
Has Ne'amanut regarding Ktana, but not Ktana.
That's correct.
Xerata Katul.
Right.
Just because of the Kana that Elisha said.
The Ktana or Anara, yes.
No logic is a logic.
I don't know what to say.
It's a kiddush.
Tells me that. Okay. All right. Let's get back to the Gemara. Any other questions, comments, thoughts?
Gedolah.
Yeah, they're usually like Gedolah is not Naaman for. Okay. Now. All right. Now the next mission. Everybody with me? Okay. We're around the six very wide line on Samach Dalet Amud Aleph. Okay. Okay. Manitin. Mishamar. See, have a man who's about to face his death, and he says at the time of his death, like Zorknish, don't worry about Yibam, because I have sons. You know, I have a big message for you. I have sons from a prior marriage, so you have nothing to worry about. Then he's Neman. He's believed to say, I mean, we don't know anything about sons. We don't know anything. She's married to him for, you know, whatever, 10 years, and now he's dying, and now suddenly for the first time he says, when he's dying, well, we'll see in a minute. He says, I have sons. He's Ne'eman. Yishli Achim, he says, I have brothers, which means that you're in Gahak Basuras. Now you have Yibam problems. He's Eino Ne'eman, not Ne'eman. Now, the only thing I should say is, Rashi tells us right away that she was Becheskat Eina Zekuka. In other words, the presumption up till now is that she had no Yibam issues. In other words, prior to this time, our assumption is that she had no Yibam issues with this man. And then, right, as far as we know. And then if he says at the time of his death, I have sons, which is going along with our presumption, he's Ne'eman. But if he says, I have brothers, which is, goes against it now you got a problem, Eino Ne'eman. Or we'll see in a minute, okay? So let's see, we don't understand anything. We have to wait, be patient. Okay, now, the eighth wide line. Gemara, Alma Ne'eman Matir Ne'eman Lesor. So it sounds like, simple reading the Mishnah, that we believe him, that he's matir her, he says you have no problems Yibam, we believe him, but he says you have a Yibam problem, we don't believe him. That's what it sounds like. So Neman Ethan Luke Rabbi Natan. Should we say our Mishnah does not follow the opinion of Rabbi Natan? The Tani, we learned the Braisa. Now here you have a case where a man says one thing at the time of Kiddushin and another thing before his death. He says the Tani, Bishat Kiddushin Amar Yeshli Banim. In other words, at the time of the marriage, he wants to induce her to marry him. So Bishat Kiddushin, he says, don't worry, I have banim. I have sons. Bishat mita amar ein lo banim. He says, guess what? It was a lie. I don't have sons. He says, in other words, so, right. So at the time of the marriage, saying, you don't have Yibam problems. He says, guess what, dearest? You have a Yibam problem. He says, Bishat kiddushin amar ein lo achim. In time of kiddushin, says, I have no brothers. I have no Yibam problem. Bishat mita amar yesh lo achim. He says, I do have brothers. Nem on the hat here, being nem on the asur to be read. Rebbe says, we believe him. His first statement we believe at the time of the marriage, and we don't accept the second statement. We think, l'chora, that our Mishnah is in accordance with Rebbe. In other words, we believe him to be matir, we don't believe him to aser her. Rebbe Natan Omer, afnim on the asur. Rebbe Natan says, no, in the cases, in the case, certainly in the Braisa, we're going to believe his second statement. In other words, we're going to believe him that she's got a problem, well, even problem. So Rebbe says, we're not going to accept the second statement. We'll believe the first statement. Rabbi Nachman says, no, we'll believe the second statement. Again, in the Braisa, the man makes two statements, one at the time of the marriage, one at the time of his death. So one relates, either he makes a statement concerning children. So at the time of the marriage, he says, I have kids, nothing to worry about. And at the time of death, he says, I have no children. You got a problem. Or he says, at the time of the marriage, I have no brothers, no problem. Or he says, I do have brothers at the time of his death. So we're not, Rebbe says we only accept the first statement, not the second statement. Rabbi Nathan says we are going to look at this, we're going to accept the second statement, not the first statement.
That is a change if you accept.
That's correct. Now, so we think that Rabbi Nathan cannot be reconciled with our Mishnah. Because Rabbi Nathan says, we believe him to answer her, but in the Mishnah, we only believe them to say Yesh Liban, we didn't believe him to say Yesh Liachim. So Amar Rava, tries to reconcile Rabbi Nathan with our Mishnah. Amar Rava, Shani Hatam, the case in the Brisa is different than the case in the Mishnah. Kimadushan Mita Kahadarbe, in the Brisa, he's choser from his, he made a previous statement, now he's choser from that statement. Ema Kushtaka Amar. So Rava wants to say, there's more grounds to think that he's saying the M is now the second time around. How so? Let's look at Rashi on this. 1 second. 5 lines from the bottom in Rashi. Shani Hatam Bibraita, Kiva the Hadar Baby Dibura Kama, since he's Choser from his first statement, Bishat Mita, Kushta Kamar, Shloyhe Avon Taluibo. In other words, he's going to see the Ribbono Shalom soon. He doesn't want an Aveiro over his head. He says, Aval Matnitin. So, in other words, we think now he's fessing up the truth because, you know, like he wasn't past them to kind of, you know, say a deceptive statement to induce her to marry him. But now that, you know, he's dying and he's going to see the Ribbono Shalom soon, he wants to say the Emes. In the Mishnah, he never said the time of marriage that I don't have any brothers. Now that he says, I do have brothers. In other words, in the Mishnah, there's no reason to think that it's true what he's saying, that he has brothers. So we're thinking this is a little the opposite way around. He just wants to torment the wife. I don't know what the marriage was like. But he wants to kind of torment her. But we're gonna believe the statement that she's no Yibum problems. That's what we think. All right, let's wait till we end the end of the subject. Okay, let's just wait a minute. Okay, now, okay, 5 minutes to the bottom. Amarle Abayis, that's Rava's statement is to reconcile Rabbi Nathan with our mission. Amarle Abayis, so Abayis says, isn't it a kalvachomer? In other words, you're saying that he's believed, even though he was chozer on his words. Hashto mahatam the kamara le dibure amri kushta kamar. If you're telling me that when he's chozer from his original statement, that's evidence that he's saying the MS, he says manid lo kamara le dibure lo koshkein. So in the Mishnah, where he's not chozer on any previous statement, wouldn't he be twice as believed? In other words, if you're telling me, just focusing on Rabbi Nathan, that he makes 180 degrees. You know, he changes his story at the time of his death, we believe him. So in the Mishnah, he doesn't change his story, but he says, I have brothers, wouldn't we say we believe him in that case? He says, El Amar Rabaye, so rather Abaye says, the Pshat is like this, Manit lo muksak lan ba'ache, lo muksak lan ba'bane. In other words, in the Mishnah, we don't know that he's got brothers, we don't know that he's got children. Dimrinan came into lo muksak lan ba'bane, lo ba'ache, since there's no presumption that he's got sons or brothers, Amar Yeshli Banim Neman, Yeshli Achim Eno Neman. In other words, Lav Kukamini da Asalo Kulyama. Meaning, in the Mishnah, this is where Rashi comes in the Mishnah, the presumption was that she had, prior to this moment, he's about to die. Before he dies, as far as we know, she has no Yiba mission. We don't know about brothers, and as far as we know, he's got no Yiba problem. So if he now, at his death, he makes a statement and he says, Yeshli Banim, I have sons, but that goes along with our previous presumption, he's going to be Naaman. Yeshli Achim, he says, on the bottom line, I have brothers, Eino Naaman. Why? Lav Kukmini da Asala Kuliyama. He's not in a position to answer her on the whole world at this point in time, we think. He says, Brighter, top line of the Brighter, the next line, to Buxatlan Ba'afe, Lo Buxatlan Ba'bane, in the Bryce's case, there was a prior presumption that he had brothers, but there wasn't a prior presumption that he had sons. Dimrinan Mali Lashakir. In other words, in the Bryce's case, the Muksaklan Ba'achev, the Muksaklan Ba'bane, in other words, prior to the marriage, the presumption was that this man had brothers.
Yes,
and he had no children. In other words, going into this marriage, It wasn't on tabula rasa. It wasn't a blank slate. Going to the marriage, the presumption is she's going to have a Yibam problem. But then at the time of the marriage, he says, you know what? I don't have brothers, or I don't, or I do have children, which is no problem, right? And so he, so going into the marriage, he makes a statement that uproots the previous presumption. In other words, again, there's a presumption before they get married. That the presumption before they get married, as far as we know, he has brothers and he doesn't have children.
Yeah.
And but then at the time of the marriage, he says to her, "Dearest, I do not have brothers, or I do have children. So you have no Yibam problem." So the question is that a believable statement or not? So he says, "Mali l'shaker." In other words, that statement that he makes at the time they get married has a lot of credibility. Why? Because why would he be making a statement like that? If he's making a statement just to like lure her into the marriage and say there's no Yibam issue, he has an easier way to do it. He says, "My Ka'amar, why would he be making that statement? The Miftarim Yavam, to you know, induce her to say that you have no Yibam problems, Matsi Amar, he has an easier way out of it. He could say, Hatanalak Begita, I will give you a get before I die. In other words, shortly before my death, I'll give you a get. Or you can give a get, they'll say the get will be effective 5 minutes before I die or something like that. If he wanted to lie, he could make that statement. But he's not making that statement. So the first statement he's making, it's like amigo. It's like Mali Lashakir. Why would he make a lying statement? He has a better way to do it. He a better way to fix the situation. He could say, I'll give you a get. It'll be effective 5 minutes before I die. And then you have no Yibam prompt. But he doesn't say that. So the first statement has a lot of them on us. He says, so back in the Gemara, line 3, Rebbe Savar, Mali Lashakir, Kiyanim Dami. Rebbe holds that the first statement that he makes going into the marriage is like Edus. In other words, it's so believable. It's like Adam came and said that there's no din in Yibam. The first statement, and it was Mali the Shakir, and it was, why would he make like a lousy lie? He's got a better lie to make it. So it's a believable statement. So it's like Adam come and say that there's no Chiyuv of Yibam. Va'atu Adam Akri Chazaka. So the Adam come and they uproot the previous presumption that we had. So the fact that he later on makes, and then we'll see in a minute, Rabbi Nathan Savar, Mali Shakir Ki Chazaka Dami. So again, focusing on Rebbe. Rebbe holds that the first statement has a lot of nemanis. The later statement doesn't have such great nemanis. So Mamela, we're going to believe the first statement he makes going into the marriage. You with me or not? No? All right. Let's all focus. Okay. Let's all focus again. Okay. We have a case. Daniel is still with us. Okay. So we have a case in the Brisa where the man makes two statements. The first statement is, to you know, boiling it down to its simplest element, is you have no Yibam problems. The second statement is you have Yibam problems, and that he makes shortly before the second statement right before his death. So, in the Brisa, the way that this is the Abaye is giving the shot here, right? Yeah, right. So Abaye says the Brisa is talking about, as far as we knew, he did have brothers and he didn't have sons going into the marriage. The community, as far as the community knew, you have a Yibam problem. And then he makes the first statement is, I do not have brothers, or I do have sons. So that's a very believable statement, because if he wanted to, you know, in other words, why would he make a false statement with that? So you say he wants to induce her to marry him. But if that's what he wanted to do, he could easily say, I'll give you a get, it'll be effective 5 minutes before I die. And then I've solved it. But he doesn't say that. Instead, he says, I have sons or I don't have brothers. So that's a very believable statement. The first statement is very believable. The later statement, that first statement, according to Rebbe, is so believable, it's like the equivalent of two Adam coming in and saying there's no Yibam. So the fact that he makes a later statement right before he dies that you do have Yibam, that doesn't hold water next to the first statement. The first statement is very believable. That's according to Rebbe. Okay, now let's do a few more lines in the Gemara. Now, then the Gemara says, on line 5, Rebbe Nathan Sabar, Mali the Shakir Ki Chazak Adami. Rebbe Nathan holds the first statement is somewhat believable, but it's only believable like another Chazaka, another presumption. So I had one presumption, But now the second presumption is a little bit more believable. Lo ati chazak ba'akri chazak legamre. But the second chazaka doesn't uproot the first chazaka totally. In other words, so I have the first chazaka is you got an evil crumb. Second chazaka makes a statement with this mali shaker, so it replaces it. But then when he comes back and makes the later statement, according to Rabbi Natan, that goes back with the earlier presumption, and it is you know more believable. So Rabbi Natan holds that the last statement is believable. Now let's just take a look. One second. Right. So the first presumption was initially somewhat impaired, but then he says, so the second statement is believable. A person wouldn't sin, you know, where he's not getting the benefit from the sin. So he's saying that, like, in other words, there's no reason to think that he's lying when he says that there's no yibum problem. But then he makes the other statements, then we're concerned with it. Okay, All right, let's just summarize what we did. Then we'll take questions, comments, thoughts, and we'll go on. Okay? So we had one halakha in the Mishnah and one in the Braisa. So the halakha in the Mishnah is if a person says at the time of his death he has sons, he's Naaman. If he says he's got brothers, he's not Naaman. So we thought he's Naaman to be Matir, he's not Naaman to Aser. So we thought the Mishnah can't go like Rabbi Natan. Then we learned in a Braisa when a person changes his story, and the first story was there's no Yibum problem. The second story is he's got a Yibum problem. So Rabbi says that we're going to believe the first story. And Rabbi Natan says we'll believe the second story. So we thought our Mishnah must go like Rabbi, that we believe him to be Matir, not the other one. So so then Rabbi wanted to say that our Mishnah is reconcilable even with Rabbi. Rabbi wanted to say that the Bryce is different because since he impaired his first statement, that lends credibility to it. And perhaps Rabbi Natan would agree to the statement of the Mishnah. Then Rabbi said that doesn't make any sense. If you believe him when he impairs the first statement, when there never was a first statement, certainly you should believe him. So Abayi says that the difference is in the Mishnah, the presumption, the prior presumption of the Mishnah is that there are no brothers, there are no sons, there are no brothers, and we don't know that there are sons. So we say, that if he says Yeshli Banim, so we think that there's no Yibam issue with him because he's got no brothers and he's got no sons, but there's no Yibam issue. So if he says Yeshli Banim, he's Neman. That goes with our prior understanding. Yeshli Achim, he's not Neman. But the Braisa case, according to Abaye, is talking about that there was a presumption that he did have brothers, or there was a presumption that he did not have. In other words, there was a prior presumption that there is a Yibam issue, and then he comes and he makes the statement that there's no Yibam issue. So that second statement, which is the first statement he's making, but it's like the second, you know, that has a high level of credibility. But how high a credibility does the first statement have? So according to Rebbe, it's so high, it's like Eidos, and his later statement can't knock it out. According to Rabbi Natan, it has credibility, but it's like another chazaka. So the first chazaka is impaired, second chazaka is in place. When he comes around and makes the later statement, it joins with the first chazaka, and we believe it's
the statement of the first chazaka.
The second statement is in conformity with the earlier chazaka, right?
Yes.
Right. All right, that's the best I have. Okay, who's got questions, comments, thoughts on anything I did so far? What can I tell you? Okay, any questions? Yeah, but in other words, like maybe she doesn't know where the brother is. You don't know where anybody is, things like that. Also, if of course, I'm saying the first issue is what is the halakha? So the Gemara is not saying it's a sapphic. The Gemara is saying, well, The Gemara has different shito, but the machloka between Brisa, between Rebbe and Rebbe Natan. But according to Rebbe, the first statement that he makes is the believable statement, according to Rebbe Natan, not. So the different result.
Maybe he wants to get to that.
There is a clown in the Gemara, you know, Choti below low. A person doesn't want to do a sin where he's not going to get a benefit from the sin. But, All right. Anyway, now, all right, let's see. I'm going to go. Okay, listen, we're running out of time. I got to go finish up. And
I had a question. 1 second. So once he shot, his credibility is shot. That now he's under the jurisdiction of the court, and what's the outcome for him?
Which case are you talking about, Ruth?
He says he has sons, but he doesn't have brothers, and then it's determined that there was not the case.
No. Okay. Well, that's not the case that we have in this. It's not one of the cases that we had in the Gemara.
Okay.
So the case in the Gemara and the Brisa. Is the way that Abaye understands the Brisa is that the presumption was that it's one or the other, either that he's got brothers or he has sons. But the case in the Brisa was the presumption was that he's got brothers and we don't know that he's got kids. So presumption was that there is a Yibam issue going into the marriage. The presumption was there is a Yibam issue if he dies, right? And then he makes a statement at the time of the marriage that I don't have brothers or I do have sons. Are you with me, Ruth?
Yes.
Okay. So that statement has a lot of believability, Gemara says, because why would he make this false statement? So if it was to lure her into the marriage, he has an easier way to do it. He could say, I'll give you a divorce that will be effective 5 minutes before I die and you don't have any Yibam problems. So since he does make this statement, so the Gemara takes it, that statement has a high level of believability. Are you with me so far, Ruth?
Yes.
Okay. So then he makes a different statement right before he dies. So according to Rebbe, his different statement before he dies is not strong enough to uproot the first statement. The first statement is so believable, it's like two Adam came and testified there was no Yibam problem. But according to Rebbe Natan, the first statement is stronger than the presumption we had before, but it's not that strong to knock it, you know. So later on, he comes and makes a statement in accordance with the previous presumption. We're gonna go that way. Okay, I hope that helps, but I have to move on. Okay, are you okay, Ruth, or not?
I'm very okay, thank you.
You are or not?
I am very okay.
Line 6 on Samach Dalam Reis. Okay, 64b in the Mishnah. I have to hold off all questions, otherwise we're never going to finish. Okay, Manitin. And we had this mission already previously. Hamakadish abito stam, if a man is makadish his daughter without specifying in a bogrot bechlal. So the daughters, in other words, he doesn't specify which daughter, the older daughters are not included because the bogrot, he has no koach to be makadish the bogrot. Now, a different case. He's got two groups of daughters from two wives. He was married to Rachel, then she died or divorced him, or he divorced her, and then he married Leah. So he's got a whole gaggle of daughters. He says, I was makadish my older daughter, and I don't remember which one, you know, which one I specified or anything like that. All I remember is that I said you're makadish to my bt hagadola. I don't know if I meant the older of the older group, or the oldest of the younger group, or the youngest of the older group. Shuhi gedolam and agdola shebiktanod. In other words, the oldest daughter could be the oldest of the oldest group. It could be the youngest of the oldest group who's older than the younger group, or it could be the oldest of the younger group. He says kulan asurot. So the Talmud Brai says all the daughters are prohibited. Kutz min aktana shebiktanod divrei Meir. Divrei Meir, all the daughters are prohibited except the youngest of the youngest group. Certainly, he didn't mean that daughter. Okay, now Rabbi Yossi Omer kulan mutarot kutz min agdola shebiktanod. Rabbi Yossi says they're all permissible. When he says Gidola, if he doesn't specify, means the oldest of the oldest. Okay? Now, just the opposite case. A man says, Kidashi biti haktana, I was mekadosh my youngest daughter. Ve'eni yodeim ktana shebiktanot, I don't know if I meant the youngest of the youngest group, or ktana shebiktanot, or the youngest of the older group. or the oldest of the younger group, who's younger than the youngest of the older group. He says, Kulan Asuro, they're all prohibited, except the oldest, they were there. Yossi Meir Kulan Mutarot, Yossi says they're all permissible, Chusman Akhtanish Mutarot. Anyway, the bottom line is, if a man says, I was Makadish, I don't remember what I said, specifying the daughter, I didn't specify the daughter, but if he says, I was Makadish, my older daughter, so according to a mayor, I have to be choshesh that it could be any daughter other than the youngest of the youngest group. But he's got two groups. One is group of daughters from Rachel, one from Leah. So according to Meir, I have to be choshesh all of them that they're Mekudah showed, except for the youngest of the youngest group. And according to Yossi, no. Gedola means the oldest of the oldest group. And then if he says, I remember that I was in Kaddish, my youngest daughter. So again, Meir holds that they're all Safek Mekudah showed, except the oldest of the oldest group. And Rabbi Yossi holds, no, only the only one who's married is the youngest of the youngest group. Okay, now, the Gemara says, focusing on the first halakha of the Mishnah, we said, a Makadish Apito Stam in a Bogor of Bechlal, different case. If a person is Makadish's daughter, and he doesn't specify, the Bogor, the older daughter, is not included. Haktan of Bechlal, sounds like the younger daughters would be included. Shami Minah Kedushin, Shemi Sur Labiya, Habu Kedushin. That would lead me to assume that Kedushin Shlom Nim Sur Labiya, Habu Kedushin. Meaning, let's say he's got 10 daughters, and five of them are Bogrot and five are Ketano. And he says, I married off the Ketano. So, but each the Ketano, the husband can't have relations with any of the Ketano, because each Ketana could be his wife, or it could be the sister of his wife. So that being the case, that's Kedushin Shlonim Sur Labi. It's Kedushin that Bia is obviously impossible legally to have with any of them, and yet the Tana teaches it as if the Kedushin are effective. So the Gemara says, no. Hachamayaskin and Shein Sham Lagdola Ketana. The Gemara says the case, the first line of the Mishnah, is only two daughters in the first case. Not the way I just said a moment ago. The first case of the Mishnah, he's got two daughters. One is the 15-year-old and one's the 10-year-old. He says, so he says, I was Makadish, my younger daughter, so only the younger one, not the Bogeret. Baha Bogro Katani, what do you mean there's only two daughters? Bogro is plural. He's got older daughters with an S at the end. My Bogro Da'amu. What does the Tana mean when it says Bogro? Means Bogrot, like the people in that class. In other words, like Bogrot in general. So he says, Shita, Bogrot Ma'avita Tai. Isn't that obvious? What is he going to be involved with? Be Makadish's daughter when she's a Bogaret? Hachamay Askin and Shavita Shliach. So the Gemara says, no. Misha's talking about he has a daughter who's Ketana. He has a daughter who's a Gdola. But the Gdola one designated the father to be her Shliach, to be Makadish her. So now he says he was Makadish my daughter, and he didn't specify which one. So when he accepted Kiddushin, he could have had in mind the older daughter, Kamash Malan. So the Tana is teaching me, we had this already, a man would never give up the case where he gets Hanan. As if he's Makadish, the younger daughter, he gets the father gets the case of Kiddushin, and then do an action where he's not going to get immediate, you know, benefit from it. So the Gemara says, wait a minute, Milo Askin and Da'amalei, is it not that the case of the Mishnah would even include the case where the older daughter said, my Kiddushin, you can keep my Kesef Kiddushin? So if that's the case, yes. How come it's so clear to the Tana of the Mishnah that that it's the younger daughter that's married? So Apilu Hachi, Loshavikinish Mitzvah, Deramia Alei, a person would never drop the Mitzvah that's incumbent upon him to marry off the younger daughter, Babi Mitzvah, Lo Rami Alei, do a Mitzvah that's not, you know, incumbent upon him. So the Gemara says, so if he's got a younger daughter and an older daughter, the presumption is that he's Makadish the younger daughter. Okay, the only thing that we discussed this previously, the Gemara says that a man should not be Makadish the daughter when she's younger because she has das to tell that what she's happy with or not. So they had the mistakes. The Ritva discusses this. He says it could be the Gemara discussing maybe when she's, like, say, a Nara, when she's old enough, or that the girl is old enough to know which one is better. Yeah, right. Or like, the way the first answer to the Ritva might be she's old enough, maybe she's 11, but she knows how to say, or the second, no, she's 12 to 12 and a half, and that's the case. Okay, I have to keep going in the Gemara. Okay, now, on the second wide line, Mishlo Shtikin Banon, if a person has two groups of daughters, the older group and the younger group, just girls, so why does the Tana have to teach me first he's got the Gedola case and the Ketana case, one form or from the other? Utsricha. So the Tana had to teach me both cases. Yeshmin and Kamaita, he only taught me the first case. The first case is the father says I was married my Gedola. I don't know if it's the oldest, the oldest. I don't know if it's the oldest or the youngest. The youngest, the oldest, which is older than the youngest of the oldest of the youngest, or the oldest of the youngest. He says, so here I'd say Rameir says everyone he calls Gedola except for the youngest one, because it's like a shevach for the father, because of my older daughter. In other words, that's a positive term. My older daughter, he likes to refer to the daughter's older daughter. So there Rameir holds any daughter except the youngest he calls the older daughter. Abba Baha, but when he says I was Mekadosh my younger daughter, Imamodile the Rabbi Yossi, Diktana Lahach Kitana de Kulu Karila. Maybe he agrees with Rabbi Yossi when it comes to Kitana, that he only refers to Kitana as the youngest of the youngest. Yitmar Baha, and if he only told me the younger case, the Kitana case, there I say Baha Kama Rabbi Yossi. There Rabbi Yossi says, with certainty, it's the Kitana Shmitana. Abba Baha, with the older ones, Ema Modele Rameir. Maybe he agrees with Rameir, Strichus. So he tells me that he had Strichusa. Okay? All right, let's go further. Now the Gemara says, Lamemra, the Rameir Savar, so it sounds like from our Mishnah, the mayor holds that a person would use a term which is somewhat ambiguous, meaning if he says Gedola or Katana, according to a mayor, it could mean a number of different things. But a person would use a term, even though it's somewhat ambiguous, and it could mean different things. A person would use a term like that. Rabbi Yossi holds that if a person uses a term, he means it in the most straightforward fashion. So if he uses Gedola, he means Gedola Shabagdola. If he uses Katana, he means Katana Katana. That's the way we understand the Mishnah. So he says, Va'ibcha Shamin Aluhu. But we see their Shito, it seems to be reversed in the Mishnah Masech and Nedarim. It's not because we learn the Mishnah Masech and Nedarim. Hanoder Ada Pesach. If a person says he's not going to get Hana from Reuven till Pesach, Asura Shagia. So he can't get Hana from until Pesach comes. Ad Shehei Pesach. And he says he's kicking it out until it is Pesach, Asura Sheitze, until the Pesach's over. But here's the key. Ad Pnei Pesach, we think it means the beginning of Pesach. And he says, Ad Pnei Pesach, Rameir Omer, Asura Sheitze. Rameir says it's prohibited up until the time it comes. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Ad Sheitze. Rabbi Yossi says, Ad Sheitze. Now, to the beginning of Pesach, the primary meaning till the beginning, the absolute beginning of the first day, but the beginning of Pesach, any day of Pesach could be the beginning. Is any day is like prefatory to the days that follow. So the first day of Chol HaMoed is the beginning of Pesach for the days that follow. The second day of Chol HaMoed is the beginning for the third day, and the third day is the beginning for the fourth day. In other words, each day of Pesach and the last day of Pesach, the beginning of the last day, is preparatory for the end of the day. So if I say to the beginning, that can mean any day in its broadest term, in its broadest understanding. But here their opinions are reversed. Remember, in the previous Gemara, Rameir held that a person would use an ambiguous term that could be understood multiple ways, and Rabbi Yossi held not. Here, though, here Rameir says Asurat Sheagia. Rameir says that the ambiguous term we're just going to conclude till the Yontif comes. In other words, we would expect that in the earlier sugya, Rameir says the ambiguous term is understood in multiple ways, and Rabbi Yossi says no, it's only the most straightforward way it's understood. That was Rabbi Yossi. That was the previous sugya. But now by Nedarim, it's just the opposite. Because by Nedarim, Rabbi Meir, who would expect to hold that until the beginning of Pesach means any day of Pesach, he says, Asura et Shagi, until Pesach arrives. He says, and Rabbi Yossi, Omer et Shei, Rabbi Yossi holds them any day. So the Shita are totally reversed. So I'm Rabbi Kinyan Bar Abdimi, I'm a Rav, Buchlef et Shita. So Rabbi Dina said the name Rav, the Shita are reversed, meaning we have to reverse the Shita to Mesech and Nedarim. Indeed, they are reversed. So it means that Rabbi Yossi holds Ad Shegia, and Rabbi Meir holds that any day. Now, Bahatani, and now we learn a brisa that supports our Hezber. Zehakal, the brisa says, this is the overarching principle. Kol Shizmano Kavua, if there's a definite time for a holiday, Yamar Ad Pnei, and he says to the beginning, Rameir Omer Ad Sheitzei, Rameir holds, you have to do it to the whole holiday. In other words, the beginning could be any day. Rabbi Yossi Omer Ad Shegia, Rabbi Yossi holds that it means till the holiday arrives. Okay, I want to do more. But let's do as best we can right now for two more minutes. And then otherwise we'll finish up tomorrow. So Amar Abaye, Machlokte b'shtei kitei banot. Abaye says the Machlokte between Rameir and Rabbi Yossi is when he's got two groups of daughters. About Bekat Achad, if he only has one group of daughters, Divrei Kol Gedola Mamash, Ketana Mamash, Emsa'it b'shma Karibah. Then everybody agrees when he's got one group of daughters, the Gedola is the oldest of the group, the Ketana is the youngest of the group, And the middle daughters are all called by their name. That's why everybody will hold. So,
daughters, one is the oldest, that's one of the youngest, two and three are by their name.
Right. That's what everybody would agree. That's what we think. He says, this is what Abaye says. So, Amalei Ravada Bar Matna L'Abaye. So, Ravada Bar Matna says, Abaye, El Miata, in Sayyid Shiva Kachniya, Tishri. So, if that's true, what you said, so then the middle daughter in the second group in the Mishnah should be permissible. In other words, let's say he says, I'm a Kaddish, my older daughter. So we said all the daughters, according to Rameh, are prohibited, except for the youngest group. Again, he's got two groups. Yeah, but the same svara will apply, he wants to say, the second group. We'll see in a minute. In other words, he says if there's only one group, then the older means the oldest, the youngest means the youngest in the middle. So he says, if that's true, what you're saying, so then as a corollary to that, so then if he has with the two groups, so that should also pertain. So it says, Elamiata Emsaitha Bekachnia Tishri. So the middle daughter in the second group should be permissible. In other words, when he says, I'm a Kaddish, the older daughter. So we said the older daughter could be the oldest of the oldest group, or it could be the youngest of the older group, or even the oldest of the second group. But according to this was Abaye, when there's only one group left, which would be that second group. So then oldest means the oldest of that group. That doesn't mean anybody else in the group. So the middle daughters in the second group should be permissible. All right, I got to break off right now. I'm sorry. Okay, let me leave it. I'm sorry, I'm back.